search your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us faith to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Only your name.
Have you seated? Acts chapter 4. As we continue our study on the church as it was created and formed, and how that it came about, and the livelihood and the example of who we are to be as a church, we're going to continue to look in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the historic account of the early church. The book of Acts is where we see the church on fire, the church ready to move forward and do the things that God has commanded them to do. And you know, this church, the early church, had very few things that as a church today we'd sit around and say, hey, we really need these specific things. You know, we look at things that are necessary, printing presses, media ministries, TV outlets, a building. No church building. The church is the body of Christ. And the church met in homes. And the church met in the synagogue and in the temple and in the places. They went and they just met together. And the way that they really outdid us in life is they went forward and they laid the groundwork for who we are as a church today. Similar in fashion as to how that 150 years ago that some men came together and laid the groundwork for this church. You know, and I believe that those people laid the groundwork for the church, for the people that were there right then. And so many times we live in that then and now type situation. I would almost tell you that they probably didn't think of this building as being here the 140 years later that it is now, or this maybe even this church being here 150 years later. But I've got to tell you something. It is the Word of God. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the endurance of people to maintain and control and to teach those things and to allow the Holy Spirit to maintain and grow His church, the body of Christ, in Plantersville, Texas. And so, you know, the great thing about it is we all have work to do. My goal here at church as the pastor of Plantersville Baptist Church is, yes, to do the things necessary for the church body here today, but also to maintain truth and maintain integrity in the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work through the people in lives, maybe for another 150 years, maybe longer if the Lord doesn't come sooner than that. And by the way, I pray He does. I hope that before I get finished preaching this sermon, that the Lord comes again and takes me home in the rapture. But also, if He doesn't, let me be a good servant of Him. Let me be a great worker in the church. Let me be a person that gives all I have in my heart in the same way that He gave all He had in His life for me. That is what we've got to rebuild and regrow, that enthusiasm. Let's read Acts chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever Your hand and Your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to Your servants that with all boldness they may speak Your word by stretching out Your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of Your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And the great power of the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So we've got a lot of tools to witness and to go out and to share with people and to do things that the church then didn't have. But I guess the question would be, if we've got all the extra tools and we've got the people and we've got the knowledge and we have the written word here, what is it that we really need to learn that the early church was learning? The first thing that I think that we as a church need to take a really close look at is that the early church learned to pray. Now, the early church, and the reason I wanted to read these verses from 23 through 30 is because that is their prayer. They're praying to God here. And they have come together and they are looking for God to continue to deliver them. And they understand better than we understand the persecution that the apostles were going through and the disciples were going through. They understand the persecution that Jesus Christ went through. There were many of them that were witnesses to His death. Many of them were at least just secondhand hearing this truth of what had happened with Christ. And they all had come to a point where they realized who God really was. And you know, in our lives, sometimes prayer is put down as a small thing. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that if you haven't prayed about a situation, you haven't done everything you can do about that situation. As a matter of fact, you haven't even started. It's like having a lamp and not plugging it in. There's no power to it. You can't get the light bulb to come on. And you and I as Christians, if we don't plug into God, if we don't pray and allow the Holy Spirit to speak and work through us, it's not going to light up for us. The light bulb doesn't just come on. Prayer is our avenue to call out to God and to ask Him to come and to move through us. And in this prayer meeting that was days long here, you could look back to the beginning of Acts and see where in the first chapter where women and men alike were praying, and they, when they prayed and they were sincere and put their heart out there on the line and said, God, we know who You are. Empower us. Work through us. Deliver us in the same way You've delivered Your people before. You know, as I watched the intro to the Bethmore Bible study coming up, and I've just got to tell you something. I'm almost ready to be here for ladies' Bible study because I want freedom in life. I want freedom from the bondages of this world. And what they were doing is they were praying their way to freedom in this situation. Matter of fact, these guys, they got together and they prayed with such strength and fervency that it made them bold to other people. And the Holy Spirit came upon them and made them bold. And you and I should have the same desire to be that bold Christian. And the prayer was so strong and fervent that the building was shaken. We really need a shaking here at Plantersville Baptist Church. Not in the form of a physical shaking, but in a spiritual shaking. We need to have a time at Plantersville Baptist Church where we are shaken to the point where we understand the need for prayer, the power of prayer, and the answer of prayer. It is, in fact, vital if this church is going to move forward, if Plantersville Baptist Church is going to move ahead, if we're going to not just make it through 150th year and have a great celebration and think of what a wonderful time it is to be a part of this 150-year legacy of this church. I want to be a part of the legacy of the 2,000-year-old church, the body of Christ, the one that went like this, that went forward, that prayed fervently for the people of the community, that prayed for those that were out ministering and talking and walking the story of Christ, that had a testimony that stood out in Plantersville, that have a testimony that stands out in the world. That's who I want to be. That's who we should be striving to be. And they learn to pray, and we need to learn to pray. You know, one of the things is that so many times prayer becomes a movement of the mind and the mouth. Prayer is just, I can think of what to say and I can say it, and I'm out loud saying those things. Or even when I'm praying myself, it's the mind and the mouth. But when it talks about being fervent prayer, it's talking about being a movement of the heart. One where your heart cries out to God and says, "Oh God, for who you are, that you saw mercy and grace on me, I cry out, Lord, empower me to be your servant. Allow me the opportunity to serve you, to serve others, to serve your people in the way that you've made me to serve." We were made in the image of God. And Jesus came in the image of man. And He taught us that the image that we were made in, the image that we had was the image of service. He was the servant that came and died for us. He gave His whole life for you and I. His whole life on earth was just for you and I. It was the example of who we are to be. We are to be servants, witnessing, praying, crying out. When Christ prayed for us, it was with His heart in the Garden of Gethsemane, where He prayed to the point where His blood came out of His pores like sweat. It was that kind of passion, it was that kind of heart that you and I need to be seeking after. It is that, as a people, it is that level of prayer that will change the lives of your neighbor. It's that level of prayer that will change the lives of your family members. It is that level of prayer that will change the community of Plantersville. And we need to get there. What they learned, we need to learn. That the church is powerless without prayer. The church learned to pray, but we see in these verses that the church learned to love. Look in verse 32. "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common." You see, it was love that caused them to share with others. It was love that enabled them to fill the needs and to give to those that had needs. It was love that enabled them to put away their differences. You see, it wasn't about bickering in the church about how things were going to be happening in the church or what ought to be done with the church. It was about saying, you know what? We're all in this together. You don't think that all those people in the early church or in the 2,000 years since, you don't think everybody's got the same exact opinion about how everything ought to happen or everything ought to go in life, do you? You don't think everybody liked the same color of carpet and the same color of seating everywhere, do you? You don't think everybody wanted to meet at one house instead of the other. You don't think everybody was just that way, but they learned through love to deal with all those things. It was the love of God in them. It was the love of who they are that broke those boundaries and barriers down to where people that may even have had animosity against each other at a point in time began to see that they could serve God together, that they could worship God together. If Christ could die for you and I on the cross, despite the fact that we and our sins could drive the nails in His hands to hang in there, then I can get along with anybody, anytime, anywhere, in order to further the kingdom of God. I mean, what is it that you can't do? Who is it that you can't talk to? Who is it that you can't go forward to? Who is it that you can't love? That's why Christ talked about loving His enemies. The same soldiers that hung Him on the cross, the same Jewish leaders that put Him through the trials in one evening, unfairly, unjustly, hung Him on the cross, those same ones Christ loved. Those same men that were His bitter enemies, Christ loved. And He died for them too when He hung on the cross. As much as He hung there for me, as much as He hung there for you, He hung there for them. For the person that's defiant and lives around the block or lives down the street and professes another God and professes that there is no God, the Bible gives place for who that person is, but the Bible also says that God loved them. When He said, "For God so loved the world," He was talking about everybody. When He said, "Whosoever," He meant everybody. And so as a church, when we want to claim to love, when we are a church in the image of Christ, the body of Christ, it is through love that we will learn to reach our community. It is through love that we will look past the barriers of race. We will look past the barriers of religion. We'll look past the barriers of hurt feelings. We'll look past the barriers of all the things that could get in our way between the church and the community. We'll work through and live through and pray through and allow God, through His Holy Spirit, to handle the differences. You see, that's really what happened here. These weren't just one special group of people that came and went, and now the rest of us can't deal with these situations. I mean, the problem is that we don't pray with the same heart. We don't love with the same love when we don't trust the same Spirit to fill us and lead us in everything that we do. This is the kind of love that brings revival in a church. The kind of love that says, you know what, whatever God wants from me, I'm willing to do. Whatever God has provided for me, I'm willing to give. It's not mine anyway. Naked do I come into this earth, and naked I'm going to leave. I got nothing going with me. It's the love that just says, I got one thing that I can offer you that'll last forever. It's life through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. I can't promise you cash. I can't promise you prosperity. I can't promise you a great name. I can't promise you a high credit score. I can't promise any of those things. But I can tell you this, that if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is faithful to save you and to give you eternal life. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Simple. That's all I got to offer. That's all they had to offer. The church wasn't built on the proposal of something good happening. The church was built on the proposal of giving up what we have so that others can come to know Christ, so the church could grow together, so they could live in one accord, so there could be unity together. The kind of love brings revival. It is love that prioritizes life. Love prioritizes life. You know, there are things we do in life for each other. Things, for example, that my wife and I do for each other. Mine's a really short list because I'm just not very good. Hers is a really long list. She does a lot more for me, seems like, than I do for her. I feel that way. But you know why she does so much for me? You know why I do what I do for her? Love prioritizes those things in my life. Love prioritizes them. You know why? If I did nothing for her and she did nothing for me, we'd feel unloved? Because we'd see that love didn't prioritize their life towards each other. That's why it's important in relationships and towards community and towards people to say, hey, I've got something to offer. My friendship. The same love that's been given to me, the same grace that's been bestowed on me, I want to offer that same grace from the holy God who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross that you might be free. That same love that He showed, I want to show to you. That's what I can offer. Not because of who I am, but because at some point in my life, I have been shaken. And the Holy Spirit, when I asked the Lord to be my Savior, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt me. And it is through His power that I can love in the same manner that He loved me. And it's a learning thing. Have you ever noticed that that love relationship, that one where it puts our priorities in place, have you ever known that it's a learning thing? You know, Sheree and I have been married now for 28 years. And when I married her, there were some things that I had prioritized in life because of the love we had. But I learned that I hadn't prioritized them all. And I learned that I couldn't respond to her love just the same way I did when I was 18 years old and we became married. That sounds like it almost, when I said became married, it's almost just like it just happened one day, didn't it? It kind of felt like that, right? Just like it happened one day. But you know, when it does, and when we began to grow in our relationship, the things that have changed in my life and the things that have changed in her life and how she responds to me and how that our life grows is based on the love and the priority of love that puts our life in the order that it is. And it's the same thing with the church. If priority is about what I want, there's going to be squabbling in the church because somebody else is going to have the same priority about what they want. But if the priority is love first, then life will take care of itself. If the priority is to trust Christ and to follow Him and to love others before we love ourselves and before we love our stuff, then love will prioritize us properly. The early church learned love. The early church learned prayer. And it's a church that learned to witness. Verse 33 says, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." You see, they were able to speak the word with boldness, it says up in verse 31. That's why one of the things that I really feel is important about Scripture memory and learning those verses and putting them in our hearts so we can speak them with the boldness, knowing that they are true, that they are truly the Word of God, and that we know what it says. And we know how to respond to the truth. And with great power, they gave witness. You know what one of the biggest tragedies in the church today is? Silence among church members. The unwillingness to share that Jesus changed your life. You know, we all don't mind sharing a testimony of ourselves, And we should really share a testimony about Christ, how that I'm just a walking dead man without Him, and how I'm an eternal being at this point. Well, the body's going to go away, but my spirit's going to go on forever with Christ. You know, how about just sharing some of that? We're learning this month the Great Commission. We're learning that as Scripture memory, but these people in the early church would have, many of them would have heard Christ Himself say those things to them. They would have understood these things. The call to witness was still resounding in their hearts. If you, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." It was fresh. Many people will say, "You know what, Brother Hal, I just can't witness. I just can't share the gospel with somebody else. I just don't know how. I don't know." Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There were no training classes on how to share. There was no how to share Jesus without fear. There was no faith program. There was no... It was really about example and about a change of life. And more importantly, it was about the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. You see, it's not you that God expects to be the witness of who He is. It's you who allows the Holy Spirit to witness through you. I may not have the power to do the things I ought to do, but it's the power of God in me that allows those things. And they were all reaching out with the gospel. In fact, the reason that we have the gospel today is because of this early church. You see, they weren't stoppable. They were just continued to move on. People being put in prison and people living life for Christ, loving and sharing and giving, something that the world had never seen, something that our world today, that Plantersville, doesn't see on a regular basis. They need to see the love. They need to see the power, the spirit of who we are. They need to see that we're here to allow the Lord to change the world through us and in us. In Acts chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. 'These who have turned the world upside down have come here too.'" We see that. You know, you want to talk about the power of God working and moving. How about this? They take them as prisoners. They take them and hold them on. They say, "Hey, these are the guys. They're turning everybody to Jesus." They said, "Hey, wait a minute. Let's, you and I who have sat here, we understand now who this guy Jason is, this man that's part of the early church." And they understood who he was as leaders. And look what they did. It says, "So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." Listen, they made sure they were trying to protect themselves as they let these guys go. They knew the power of God that was working and moving through the people, and they were afraid to confront them. They let them go. You know, for you and I, we may run into trouble and persecution, and the things of today may seem to bear down on us, but it's the witness of Jesus Christ in our lives that will set us free. It's the witness of Jesus Christ that set this man free and these leaders free. We have the gospel because they were unstoppable 2,000 years ago. They just kept bringing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is here 150 years after its inception, not because of you and I, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God giving us and maintaining a place where we can come and worship Him with our hearts and our minds and all our strength. It is that that we celebrate. And through the boldness of those that have come before us, and through the power of the Holy Spirit which will give us that boldness, we need to learn to pray. We need to learn to love. And we need to learn to be a testimony, to witness to our community every single day. So that we can be a part of the world being changed by the Spirit of God.